Our text for this morning's meditation is from Psalm 19. These words, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, certainly we should see in the heavens the glory of God declared, and God's handiwork proclaimed in the sky above. Looking about ourselves on a daily basis, looking at the skies and the trees, the rivers, the sun, the moon, the stars, we should be routinely overwhelmed by all that God has done and is doing. And to a certain extent, we are, aren't we? Aren't we? So way back in 1972, John Denver wrote what has now become one of two official state songs of Colorado, "Rocky Mountain High," which has always been assumed to be about drug use, but in reality it describes the experience of those who visit the Rocky Mountains for the first time. As Denver himself explained when he heard about that reference to drug use, this was obviously done by people who have never seen or been to the Rocky Mountains, and also have never experienced the elation, celebration of life, or the joy in living that one feels when he observes something as wondrous as the Perseid meteor shower on a moonless, cloudless night. There's so many stars that you have a shadow from the starlight, and you are out camping with your friends, your best friends, and introducing them to one of nature's most spectacular light shows for the first time. Of course, such folksy, even hippie-like appreciation for nature of the 70s can be easily dismissed. So also that which is called Stendhal syndrome. Stendhal syndrome. Now, psychologists aren't sure if Stendhal syndrome is an actual thing, but what it describes is a psychosomatic condition that occurs when someone experiences overwhelming beauty. Symptoms of Stendhal syndrome include rapid heartbeat, dizziness, sweating, disorientation, fainting, confusion, and hallucination. Now, I learned about Stendhal syndrome watching a television show about the Louvre in Paris, that world-famous art museum. It's not uncommon there, apparently, for people who visit to be literally overwhelmed by what they see. Not just the beauty, but the fact that the beauty which they see in paintings and sculptures, some of gigantic proportions, was created by man. One of our sons was at the Louvre this past week in Paris. He's due back tomorrow. Can't wait to talk to him about his experience there. Whatever it was, it's probably much more intense than the experiences being offered more closer to home nowadays around Christmas time. Hoped for, of course, hoped for is the choir concert, the orchestra concert, the light show, the staging of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, the watching of such Christmas classics on television like It's a Wonderful Life. What it's hoped for is some sort of Minnesota Christmas high, or even our own Twin Cities version of some sort of Stendhal syndrome, which would seem to be appropriate given the Swedish origins of that name. When it comes to Christmas, of course, as Christians, we do think of the star proclaiming the birth of Jesus. That must have been something to see. And the shepherds, of course, saw the heavenly host of angels, and they were extremely intimidated by what they saw. But the children this morning, they didn't speak to us about the overwhelmingness of that which God has created for us to experience in nature. And they didn't talk about the beauty, the overwhelming beauty that man himself can create. No, theirs was no message of some sort of natural high or syndrome with some sort of Swedish name, but of a promise. Promise that God made to people, to us, long ago. To people like Adam and Eve and Abraham and David. A promise then that was kept by God in the birth of Jesus to Mary, and the fact that it was kept, that promise of God to Adam and Eve, Abraham and David and Mary, the fact that God kept his promise was then proclaimed by the angels to the shepherds. Impressive? I mean, the keeping of a promise? Not so much. Kids didn't get all the words right. I didn't get all the words right. And every Sunday, what is it I do but simply bring to you words? That is, I proclaim the promises of God to us pertaining to his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior from sin, our Lord and Savior from death, and the fact that in him, in Christ, is life, eternal life, through our redemption from sin and death by means of his death and resurrection from the dead. And none of that is proclaimed by the heavens. And none of it is conveyed by God's handiwork. None of it. So yes, a folk singer can accurately proclaim the wonder of nature and the overwhelming emotions that can occur when it's encountered. And an entire state can put a stamp on that proclamation, saying, effectively, by making that song its state song, yes, it's true. That's how wonderful, how beautiful, how incredible nature itself is. Artists then can take that nature and copy it in paintings and sculptures, even paintings of massive proportions, and stick them in a museum, overwhelming then those who see them, not with terror or dread, but with awe, as man has in his own art and skill depicted such overwhelmingness. So why not then make the most important celebration of the year, that is Christmas, a celebration of overwhelmingness? And the answer is, well, because it's not. It's not. For Christmas is about the promise, the words, the good tidings of great joy which shall be for all people. The words that tell us that unto us in the little town of Bethlehem is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Of course, this promise is made and kept. This proclamation goes out. These words are spoken within the wonder, which is the creation itself. And while these words can be overwhelmed, they can be overwhelmed by that creation. For who wants to hear mere words when the creation itself is to be experienced? So even local churches now this year who are refraining from hearing of the promise of Christmas and its fulfillment on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day, opting instead to make Christmas Eve and Christmas Day times of overwhelmingness. The experience of Christmas. The chestnuts roasting over open fires. Family time. A hoped-for Minnesota Christmas high. Or even some sort of syndrome. This year there's even football to be watched on Christmas because nothing proclaims the incarnation of the very Son of God more appropriately than an afternoon of football. Christmas more and more is becoming less and less about the promise shared by the children with us, about the words of the angels to the shepherds, about the words of the shepherds to Mary. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. We simply don't need the Christ, so the world, at least so it thinks. But it should think again, and so should we. For 1997 was a banner year for John Denver. Piloting his own aircraft over the Pacific Ocean, he made a simple miscalculation, ran out of gas, and crashed into that ocean, not surviving. And just a little bit of digging into the lives of the artists that created the masterpieces that now reside in the Louvre in Paris would reveal many tortured lives of tragedy and despair, many also being cut short, like that of John Denver. Well, that's just the point, Pastor, you might be thinking at this moment. Just like those artists that took some sort of solace in the creation itself as they were faced with the harsh realities of life, we too need the celebration of Christmas to do the same thing for us. We need somehow, some way to be overwhelmed by beauty and awe, if only to give us a break from life, the harsh realities of life, just for a few moments. It's the very one, however, who created beauty and awe, The very one whose glory and majesty we can see in the creation itself. The very one who inculcated into the great artists and sculptors of the world the ability to create such beauty, who gives us the solution to the harsh realities of life, suffering and death, of fear and pain, of hopelessness and despair, in simple words that don't overwhelm, that we can all understand. One of the titles, after all, of the very Savior of the world, Jesus, is the Word. As in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And how was everything made? By the very Word of God. Let there be light, is what God said to begin it all. So if we want to experience awe at Christmas, wonder, let's begin with the words of Christmas, the fact that God Himself speaks to us, the very divine artist who created us in the creation in which we live. Yes, the very one who created us speaks to us through His Word. That alone should be overwhelming. But even more so is the fact that He speaks to us good things. Good news of great joy for all people, announcing the birth of His Son, Jesus, for our salvation, fulfilling His promise to Adam and Eve, Abraham and David. Everything else, it's less than that. Everything else is not that. For when we hear that words of Christmas, those words of Christmas, it's like that Christmas letter we receive in the mail from a friend, a long-forgotten friend, who decades before had been a close companion and a pivotal part of our life. Yes, we've not heard from him in years, and Christmas preparation and activities are going on all around us, but that letter arrives, and all the questions we have had through the years about how he's doing, what he's doing, where he went, what he accomplished, they're in that letter to be read. So we sit down in the midst of the chaos of Christmas and we read that letter and we're comforted with the news, the words that it contains. For those words tell us about what is true, what is real, what actually is. So the keeping of the promise God made to us to redeem us from sin and death through His Son, Jesus Christ. That can be proclaimed by children, done so very simply, very plainly, and because of the content of their words, nothing more important could be said to us, and nothing better experienced. It should be overwhelming, but it need not be, because it simply is true. Well, should we not enjoy Christmas then? Well, of course we should. So the book of Ecclesiastes. We certainly are to enjoy and be thankful for the created things which God has given to us. For in fact, they really are the only things that are of lasting value, and the world has figured this out. But without the promise of the Savior to Adam and Eve and Abraham and David, without the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus, all of the creation in which we live, the heavens and their glory, the sky and its handiwork, the handiwork of man in all of its glory, representing that creation, overwhelming in its realization, all of that is simply vanity. It's here one moment, gone the next. That which is for now and forever, for eternity, the promise of God of a Redeemer fulfilled in Christ for us. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and a life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.